We're in a series called Broken, Repairing the Family. I preached 2 weeks ago on Happy Wife, Happy Life, and last weekend on Happy Husband, Happy Home. This week, amen. I wouldn't say it too loud. You may not be happy when you get home. So this weekend is Happy Child, Happy House. Happy Child, Happy House. And I bounce these titles sometimes off my family to see if I can get a better creative, more creative title so people can remember the message. And when I did, my daughter Elaine said, it kind of sounds like the child rules the house. And I said, well, actually, a disobedient child does. You think about it. A disobedient child can affect the atmosphere of a home. A disobedient child can affect the atmosphere of a restaurant. Is that right? This last Tuesday, I flew to Houston in the morning to do some television taping with Joel Osteen, and I was in the airport getting ready to take off and had a few moments and was in a restaurant, and there was this child, you know, and the mother kept saying, you want a timeout? Because you'll get a timeout, young lady. You hear me? You want a timeout? I'll give you a timeout. If you want a timeout, I'll give you. It ruined the dining experience of everyone in the restaurant. And by the way, I understand. Let me just say this. When I was growing up and when we raised our children, we didn't give timeouts. And I can't find timeouts in the Bible. Just to let you know. And I don't know, I don't think it works personally, but I almost named this, the title of this message, Spank 'em, for God's sake, spank 'em. So. All right. By the way, I remember Debbie was talking to a lady one time, precious, precious woman, and she'd read a book on child rearing, and she said to Debbie, she had three children, and at one time she had three under three. So you can imagine, at this time they were probably like 2, 3, and 4 years old. Can you imagine having a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, four, some of you can, in your home at the same time? And she said to our wife, she said, we don't spank anymore. And so Debbie just, you know, in wisdom, just, she said, oh, okay, you know, like I had. About 3 months later, she talked to her again, and she said, we spank again. So, and by the way, their children are now grown, college age, and they're great. They're wonderful, wonderful children. So Proverbs 23, verse 13. Proverbs 23, 13. Do not withhold correction from a child. For, you know, this gets right to the point. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. This was my father's favorite verse while I was growing up in the Bible. Now watch as it goes on, because this is serious now. You shall beat him with a rod, or spank him, and deliver his soul from hell. Do you see that? Can I tell you something? This is not just a peace in the home situation. This is a heaven and hell situation. As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't realize that the reason children, when they grow up, will not submit their wills to God is because they never learned to submit their wills to their parents. This is a heaven and hell situation. Now, let me say something, because I really thought about, do I spend an entire message talking about this? Because I know we have many empty nesters. We have people who don't have children. We have people who are singles in the congregation that are not married yet, that don't have any children. Okay, listen to me. You're all children. We're all children of God. And there are some scriptural truths today that will help us to understand. But there are principles in every time I open the Word, even if you feel like, well, he's preaching on marriage and I'm not married. I promise you, God will speak to you, because we're all married to Jesus. So there are principles here. So don't tune me out. And if you say, well, my children are raised, well, you may have grandchildren one day, and you may need to share this with your children. The Holy Spirit spoke to me about this message. Here's what he said. He said, Robert, this will be a landmark message. This will be a landmark message at Gateway. People for years will refer to this message, and this CD will go all over and help people. So let me read you that passage, by the way. Just stay where you are for a moment. But let me read you the same passage, Proverbs 23, 13 and 14, in the Message, all right? It says, don't be afraid to correct your young ones. A spanking won't kill them. A good spanking, in fact, might save them from something worse than death, which is all referring to hell. By the way, the Hebrew word there where it says you will deliver his soul from hell is the Hebrew word Sheol, which does mean the pit, which means hell. So this is a heaven and hell matter. Now, I know I told you to hold Ephesians 6, but look back while you're there in Proverbs, two other scriptures, Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Would you agree with that? The rod of correction will drive it far from him. And then a few pages back, Proverbs 13. Well, I love to hear Bibles turning. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Now, wait. Look at me. Look. I shouldn't have told you the verse. Don't read it yet. Don't read it, NRH and Harkins. Okay, here's the thing. I think the devil changed this verse because most of us know a little saying that we think is actually in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. For instance, the saying that most of us have heard is spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not in the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod, what? Hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Listen to me very carefully. We don't mind spoiling them just a little bit. That's why Satan changed the wording of it. But the Bible doesn't say if you spare the rod, you spoil your children. It says you hate them. In other words, I'm not saying you actually literally hate the child, but you're not bringing that child up in love. You're doing the worst thing you could do for a child. And then Ephesians 6, verse 4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Here's the reason I wanted to show you that verse. Remember it said, he who spares the rod hates his son. It's in the masculine. And then this says, fathers, let me tell you how to train up your children. Okay, listen to me very carefully, men. The responsibility of discipline is on the man. It's on the man. Now, that doesn't mean in a single parent home that a mother shouldn't discipline. It doesn't mean when the father's at work that the mother shouldn't discipline. Here's what I mean. If a father's in the house and the child disobeys, even if he disobeys the mother, the father should spank him. I taught my children, if you disobey your mother, you're going to get it from me. And I'm stronger than she is. And I promise you, you don't want it from me. I promise you. Now, I'm not talking about child abuse in any way, shape, or form. I am not talking about disciplining a child in anger. Not at all. But I am talking about that it is the father's responsibility and that when there's a strong father disciplining, loving figure in the home, it is the healthiest for a child, all right? So let me give you seven things that I said to God years ago. Even though I grew up with a good father, I said, God, I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to discipline. And the Lord gave me these things when my children were young. Matter of fact, before my oldest son was very young. And I put him in the bulletin because I felt like, again, this is a landmark message and you need this. And so you'll have these forever now. Number one, be clear. Be clear. And let me give you three things under each one to explain that. Give clear instructions, give clear results, and give clear reasons. Give clear instructions, give clear results, and give clear reasons. Now let me tell you why. There are a lot of people that aren't clear in their instruction, and they get very angry with the children. For instance, I want you to clean your room. Then the child goes 2 or 3 days, doesn't clean the room, and then they're all upset about it. Okay, and I used to, Debbie is a little more general, and I'm more specific, so I had to say, when did you tell them to clean the room by? Well, I just told them to clean the room. Okay, I understand that they should go ahead and do it, but children are weird. And so you got to be very, very specific. You'll need to clean your room by 6 o'clock today. Do you understand that? Do you understand? What time did I tell you to clean your room by? 6 o'clock. And what did I tell you to do? Clean your room. Oh, yes, clean my room. Okay, be very specific. For instance, one time I said to Josh, I went outside and he had thrown some rocks in the swimming pool. And I said to him, don't throw rocks in the swimming pool. Give clear results. If you throw rocks in the swimming pool again. See, I didn't spank him because I never told him throwing rocks in the swimming pool is wrong. Now, again, normal people know that. children are not normal. So if you throw rocks in the pool again, you'll get a spanking. You understand what will happen if you throw rocks in the pool? I'll get a spanking. Okay, don't throw rocks in the pool. I came out a little later and he'd thrown the lawn furniture in the swimming pool. So I said to him, okay, son, look at daddy. Don't throw anything in the pool. Don't throw rocks. Don't throw the lawn furniture. Don't throw your sister in the swimming pool. If you throw anything in the swimming pool, you'll get a spanking. Do you understand? Okay, so be clear in your communication. Clear instructions, clear results, clear reasons. All right, now I'll talk a little more about reasons later. Here's number two, be convincing. Be convincing. Get their attention, get firm, get control. Now I want to say something about this. You can be firm without being loud. Volume does not equal authority. Many times I would whisper it. I would get down and I would kneel down beside him and I would say, you're disobeying right now. And if you continue to disobey, I'm going to spank you very, very hard. Do you understand what I'm saying to you right now? Do you want a hard spanking? Because I'll give you a hard spanking if you want a hard spanking. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to be loud, okay? But you have to be firm and you have to get their attention. So you say, look at me. Sometimes I do this. Look at me. Right now, look at me, and just be very firm. And many times again, not angry. I called Elaine Sugar, and I called my boys Buddy, and I'd say, look, Sugar, look at me. If you do that, I'm going to spank you. Do you understand what Daddy's telling you right now? What did Daddy just tell you? Here, let me tell you why. The goal is not to spank them. The goal is to get them to obey. So I don't want to spank them. I want to make it clear. When they go in that room to get it, they know why they're getting it. You understand? Because I made it very, very clear. So here's number three. Be consistent. Be consistent. Keep your guidelines. Keep your word. Keep your method. Keep your guidelines, whatever your guidelines are. Keep your word and keep your method. In other words, I tried to do it the same way every time. And when I said a moment ago, give clear reasons, let me tell you what I would tell my children when they're growing up. Daddy doesn't want to spank you, but Daddy is spanking you because you disobeyed. Daddy's trying to teach you to obey. Here's why you need to learn to obey. Because bad things happen to people who do bad things. Not bad people, people who do bad things. And that's very important. In a moment, I'm going to explain that. Don't ever tell a child that he or she is bad, but he's a good child, but he did something bad. Okay? So I would say bad things happen to people who do bad things. Do you understand that? I'm teaching you to obey. If you were on the other side of the street and you were going to come across the street and I saw a car, Daddy saw a car coming that you didn't see, and Daddy said, stop. If you obey, then you'll be safe. But if you disobey, you could be hurt. So the only reason Daddy is spanking you is because you disobey. So be very, very clear and be very consistent with your methods, all right? Here's number four. Be convicting, not condemning. Very, very important. Be convicting, not condemning. Remember the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation is general, conviction is specific. Satan says you're a bad person, you're a horrible person, you're no good, you're worse than everyone else. That's condemnation. Anytime you hear that, it's coming from the devil. The Holy Spirit says you did this, and that is why you are going through this right now. And he's very specific. He's convicting, not condemning. Here's how to understand that. Say it specifically. Say it specifically. Say it repeatedly, and say it differently. Say it specifically. Say it repeatedly. Say it differently. Let me say again. Satan says you're a bad person. God says you did something bad. You're a good person, but you did something bad. Listen to me. I never said to my children, you're a bad boy. You're a bad boy. And let me say something else. Never say this. Never say, mother doesn't love you when you're a bad boy. Don't ever say that. Because God loves us all the time. He never stops loving us. He does not love us dependent upon our actions. He loves us dependent upon our relationship, that we're children. So you say, daddy always loves you. Daddy loves you. And you're not a bad boy. I mean, you're a good boy. Matter of fact, you say things like, you're a good boy. Why would you do this? Why would you duct tape your sister to the car? You're a good boy. All right, so you're a good boy. Good boys don't do this. So, okay. All right, so say it specifically, say it repeatedly, say it differently. Remember, the goal is not to spank, but to get them to obey. So here's, you say something like this. You say, son, you need to sit down right now or you're going to get a spanking. Hey, son, listen to daddy. I'm going to spank you if you don't sit down. Okay, son, I'm going to give you one more chance to obey because daddy doesn't want to spank you. He doesn't want to, but he will if you disobey. So if you'll sit down right now, you won't get a spanking. But if you don't sit down right now, I'm going to spank you. This makes it so easy when you go to the other room and you say, why are you getting a spanking? They say, because I didn't sit down. That's right. Not because daddy doesn't love you. Not because daddy's mad at you. But because daddy told you. And I told you three times. Didn't daddy tell you three times? Yes. Okay. That's why you're getting a spanking. So say it specifically, say it repeatedly, and say it differently. All right? Number five, be chastening, not chastising. Be chastening, not chastising. Now, let me tell you the difference, because there are people that say, well, God chastises his children. That's Hebrews. No, it's not. It says God chastens those whom he loves. Let me tell you the difference. Chastisement is punishment. Chastening is correction. Very important to understand this. I'm not trying to punish the child. I'm trying to correct the child's behavior. It's very important. By the way, God doesn't chastise us. And let me tell you why. He won't, and I mean, this may shock you, and I don't have time to go into all the theological definition of this, but he can't. He can't chastise you because he already chastised Jesus. Now, he will correct you. He corrects those whom he loves, and if you're without correction, you're not a child of God. That's what Hebrews says. Okay, so, and the thing is, I'm not trying to punish the child. I'm trying to correct. So here's the three things under that. Give correction, not punishment. Give correction, not punishment. Give covering, not embarrassment. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And give justice, not fairness. Justice is to give to each child what he deserves, not to every child the same. Each child what he deserves. God is a just God, not a fair God. So, all right, here's the thing. Give covering. Let me talk about this for a moment. Give covering, not embarrassment. Never, ever correct a child in front of other people. Never. Let me tell you why. It produces shame. Shame is a result of the fall. Shame never produces good fruit. Jesus not only bore our sin on the cross, here's what the Bible says, he bore our shame. Never. Have you ever seen a child get in trouble in public? Like the parent says, buddy, you're about to get it. You're about to get it. Okay, what does the child do when the parent does that? Immediately, he looks around to see who heard. Isn't that right? He's shamed. Now listen to me again. Shame never produces righteous fruit. Never. Shame is a result of the fall. We covered that in the very first message. I know people, to this day, I know people who were shamed as children when they were corrected, and to this day, when you try to speak correction in their life, you get this unbelievable barrage back. And they can't receive correction. Why? Because they carry a sense of shame with them. So, again, if we were in a public place, I would just go over and I would whisper in their ear and I would say to them, we'd be in the grocery store or something, and I would say to them, you're disobeying daddy right now. Daddy is about to take you out to the car and spank you harder than he has spanked any child in his life. Do you understand what I'm saying to you right now? They'd say, I understand. It's okay. Do you want a harder spanking than any child has ever gotten before? No, I don't, daddy. Okay. What did daddy tell you to do? He told me not to touch anything. Okay. What will happen if you touch something again? I'll get a spanking. Okay. So listen, daddy does not want to spank you. If you touch anything else, you just put your finger on it. We're going to go out to the car and you're going to get a spanking. Do you understand that? Are you following what I'm saying? But I didn't shame them. I always took them to another room and spanked them. This takes time, but it's worth it. Now, the Bible says to use a rod. This is, in essence, a small wooden stick. We used a wooden spoon. We had one in every vehicle. Because you never knew. Be prepared, the Boy Scouts. Be prepared is what the motto is, okay? So, and they understood what the purpose of that was, all right? And I think it's fine to use a small wooden paddle or something. I think it's fine to use something like that. Debbie says, I don't know whether you should tell them this because it sounds bad, but we also used the little plastic rod that you did the mini blinds with, you know? And Debbie feels bad about that. James, our middle son, we didn't know about that with Josh and James, our middle son, that he and his wife just got a new apartment. The first thing he did, we were there, he took his wife in and he took her over the mini blinds. He said, "You see that rod? That's what I got spankings with right there." But look at the good fruit it produced in his life. See? He's still afraid to touch that little rod. Okay. Okay, here's number six. Be compassionate. Be compassionate. Never in anger. Be compassionate. Now, hold them, hug them, heal them. Hold them, hug them, heal them. Okay, here's what I would do. I would take them to another room. I would go through it. Why are you getting this spanking? Tell daddy. And sometimes, you know what they'll do, because it's rebellion. They'll say, "I don't know, I'm getting a spanking." He said, "Okay, well, let me tell you why you're getting a spanking. You're getting a spanking because I told you not to throw food on your sister in the restaurant. Did I tell you that? I told you not to throw food on your sister. Okay. And you're getting a spanking because you threw food on your sister. You're not getting a spanking because some of it got on daddy's new suit. That's not why you're getting a spanking. But you're getting spanking because I told you not to throw food." And then I would ask them, "Why are you getting spanking?" And sometimes again, they say, "I don't know." I'd say, "Okay, I'm going to tell you one more time. And if you don't answer me correctly this time, I'm going to spank you twice because you're disobeying daddy. So you better listen to me right now. Do you want two spankings?" "No, I don't want two spankings, daddy." "Okay, why are you getting a spanking?" "You're getting a spanking because you threw food. You disobeyed daddy." Let's just boil down to that. "You disobeyed. Now tell me why you're getting a spanking." "I disobeyed." "That's right. That's why you're getting a spanking." Okay, then I would turn them over and I would spank them. One to two swats is not a spanking. I think it needs to be something that they don't want again. And I'm not talking about child abuse. Please understand. I'm not talking about anger. I'm not talking about using our physical strength in an overcoming way. I'm talking about a spanking. Listen, God gave us a pad. Some of us have even grown our pad larger, which may be so. The point is, it's from God gave us, God, this is the Bible. Do you understand? This is the best book on child rearing. And I promise you, you don't do it, you'll see the fruit. And if you do it, listen, this is a heaven and hell issue. That's what the Bible says. You will deliver his soul from hell. That's how important it is. So I would turn them over then and I would spank them, and then immediately I would hold them. Sometimes they would push away. They'd be angry. I'd just hold on to them because I am stronger. And I'd hold on to them, and I'd let them cry for about 30 seconds to a minute. I never timed. I don't know exactly how. And then I would say to them, "Shh, shh, okay. Okay, stop. Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. Okay, now you need to stop crying." And sometimes they would cry in rebellion. You could sense it. They'd say, "Ah!" You know, you'd say, "Okay." It's amazing how many of you relate to this sermon. "It's okay, you need to stop crying." And then I would say to him, "Okay, listen to me. You're crying in rebellion right now. You're being rebellious. And if you don't stop crying, I'm going to spank you again." Yes. And then they say, I can't. You know the little. And so I'd say, "Okay, you need to stop, because you can stop. If you don't stop, you're going to get a spanking." And then you get the, you know, okay. That's okay. They were bringing their will under submission. And I would hold them. I would hug them. I would hug them. I would heal them. I would tell them I love them. Here's number seven. Be confirming. Be confirming. Release forgiveness. This is very important. Release forgiveness. Reaffirm your love. And rejoice with them. You say, "Well, why do you rejoice?" Because it's over. It's over. It's a good time to rejoice. So release forgiveness, reaffirm your love. So here's what I would do. I would take their hands. I would say, hold daddy's hands. I would say, "Now, I want you to ask daddy to forgive you. I want you to ask me to forgive you." Say, "Daddy," I'd lead them. "Daddy, will you forgive me?" And then when they say it, I'd say to them, "I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Now let's ask God." And say, I'd say, "Will you forgive me for disobeying?" I wanted them to know what it was for always. And then I would lead them in a prayer, and I'd say this after me. Say, Dear God, please forgive me for disobeying. Okay. And then I would say, "Jesus' name, And they normally, before I'd get that, they'd say, amen. You know, it's over. And I'd say, amen. It's over. I want you to know, son, it's over. It's over. Okay. Then I would reaffirm my love. I'd say, why did daddy spank you? Here's what they'd say. Because I disobeyed. I'd say, uh-huh. But why else did daddy spank you? Because he loves me. I'd say, why does daddy spank you? Because he loves me. And I'd say to him too, and I want to tell you something. Daddy loves you a lot. He loves you a lot. You understand? So daddy loves you. And I would reaffirm my love and I would release forgiveness to them. And then I would rejoice. I don't know how God taught me these things, but he did in his grace. And maybe so I could help other people. But I remember one of the first times I spanked Josh, I went to the door, and for some reason, this thought just came to my mind, and it was the Holy Spirit, and I went to grab the door, and I went, oh, like it was hot, and he went, kind of went, and then I went to grab him, you know, like that. So I started doing something fun with them every time after I would discipline them, every time. Now, can I tell you again, this takes time, but the fruit's incredible, and let me say this. That time passes more quickly than you think because I'm about to release my last one. It's already gone. I had my time with them, and it's so important. Let me tell you one more thing that happened that I've never forgotten in my life. One time when I was spanking, after I spanked my oldest son, Josh, he was about 2.5 years old, maybe 3. Got up, we played, we did some things. You know, sometimes I would act like I'd trip. I'd find a quarter, you know, and give it to him. I just did anything I could to let him know it was over. But I picked him up, and I'm holding my arms, and we're about to leave, and I opened the door, and he reached his hand out and stopped the door from opening. And I looked at him, and he stopped the door, and he said to me, Daddy, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Listen, correction, discipline is not supposed to be harsh. It is not punitive. It is correcting, and it is loving. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? If you have children, I understand you may be getting some really good things, or if you're going to have children one day. But maybe you don't have children, and maybe you're an empty nester, but God can still speak. So ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? There may be some friends of yours that are in this stage with their children that are looking for answers, and you could help them now with these principles. We want to pray for you. Maybe you're going through a difficulty even with a grown child. Maybe you're going through a difficulty in your marriage or your family, with your health, with your finances. We want to pray for you. Whatever prayer, type of prayer, kind of prayer, whatever situation you're in, we want to help you. And no matter which campus you're attending, you may be at the South Lake campus, the North Richland Hills campus, you may be in an overflow room, you may be at Harkins Theater, but if you need prayer, we want to pray for you. So here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, we're going to stand at all the campuses, and we're going to have leaders here at the front. And if you need prayer for any reason at all, and some of you need to submit your will to God. You've been rebellious your whole life, and you know you have. And maybe you need to give your life to God. You need to ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you need to give your life back to God. You've been through a rebellious time, and you need to give your life back to God. But if you may just need prayer in any area, if you need prayer in any area of your life, please don't be embarrassed. You don't have to be a big, bad sinner to come for prayer. You don't have to be a member of Gateway Church. If you need prayer in any campus, as soon as we stand up, then just stand up, step out and come, and let us pray for you, all right? Holy Spirit, I pray you'll draw every person at every campus, every person that has any prayer need, in Jesus' name, amen.